Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanz in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Thursday, May 12, 2022. Around 22 people, including two police officers, were killed in eastern Equatorial State.
They shot 20 people dead and 7 people injured. Yeah, there are children, including this deathless and injured.
And a local grassroots network group in Sudan is calling for a change.
We should put an end to the coup groups and hold all military and civilian forces who have been involved in the coup accountable.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Two police officers were killed in Nimule town today during revenge attacks after at least 20 people were killed and scores of others injured in a separate attack on a cattle camp in Magui County of eastern Equatorial State by unidentified gunmen. The head of police at the Nimule border crossing point says the cattle camp was attacked on Thursday. Sheila Pony has this report for VOA from Juba.
A local chief in Nimule town says the security situation in the area is tense. Alira Williams says the relatives of some of the victims have begun carrying out revenge attacks in Nimule town this morning. William alleged that the two policemen were killed by individuals suspected to be relatives of the cattle keepers who were killed in Mugali attack. VOA could not independently verify William's accounts.
You and the owner and relatives of the victims from the side of the Bro community have said now they want to retaliate against the community. Then as I talk, two policemen they have shot down the side of my village in my Payom. Two police passed their personnel already shot down after with the government officer.
The chief of police at Nimule border, First Lieutenant Marco Madut, tells South Sudan in Focus via telephone that the attackers launched a coordinated assault in Mugale village, killing men, women, children, and cattle.
They have come and attacked the cattle camp this morning. They raided over 1,000 head of cattle and 52 cattle shot dead. Then 27 injured of cattle. 27 injured, that is cattle. Then they shot 20 people dead and 7 people injured. Yeah, there are children, including this deathless and injured. We have 4 children. Two are dead and two are injured. There is one year and a half child. And also there is a three-month child who is injured. They cut him with a panga.
Lieutenant Madut says the attackers fled before security forces could intervene, leaving a trail of blood. Panther Pat Makurdit, Secretary General of Bor Community Youth in Nimule, says security forces and armed young men are pursuing the attackers. He says thousands of cattle were stolen. VOA could not independently verify the number of missing cattle after the attack.
Over 10,000 which were raided. The cattle camp merged together. There were many cattle camps, but they came together, they merged together. So that was the scenario we were taking
place. Madut says tensions remain as the police pursue the attackers. Makurdit describes the scene as horrific.
The situation in the cattle camp is one which is very terrible because we went there before and the children were killed and the women were killed, which is very terrible. Like there was a child of 6 months which was shot.
The latest attack comes on the heels of an attack almost 2 weeks ago in which some pastoralists claimed more than 200 head of cattle were raided from 8 groups in Kidepo village and Ramol village in Ikotos County of eastern Equatorial State. Cattle are extremely important in some South Sudanese culture. In many communities, cows are used as a sign of social prestige. They are also used for dowry and blood compensation. For VOA News, Sheila Oponi reports from Juba.
The Resistance Committee in Khartoum states say they are establishing a political charter dubbed Charter for Establishment of the People's Power, which lays out a two-year transitional period in Sudan. The Resistance Committees, an informal grassroots networks of Sudanese residents, have been active in organizing civil disobedience against the government in Sudan. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
The resistance committees are informal grassroots neighborhood networks of Sudanese residents that started organizing civil disobedience campaigns against the government of Omar al-Bashir in 2013. The committees played a key role during the Sudanese revolution that led to Bashir's ouster. The charter does away with the 2019 transitional document that established the military-civilian partnership and calls for a comprehensive review of the 2020 Juba Peace Agreement in a to end decades of internal conflict in Sudan. Activist Al-Tayyib Muhammad Saleh, who read the charter at Wednesday's news conference in Khartoum, says the experience of the past has proven there is no unified consensus on a national program to run the country from military leaders or political parties.
We should put an end to the core groups and hold all military and civilian forces who have been involved in the coup accountable, abolish the current transitional constitutional document and establish a new constitution in accordance with this charter. All the agreements and orders that have existed since April 2019 should be revised.
Sudanese military leaders have continued to use force and arrest members of resistance committees for allegedly arranging pro-democracy protests in wake of the October 25th military coup. Saleh says the charter calls for the immediate establishment of a transitional legislative council that represents all revolutionaries from rural and urban centers of Sudan. He says the council will observe cultural, ethnic, and gender diversity of the country.
The Legislative Council should be empowered to approve, remove, monitor, and hold the transitional executives accountable. It should be responsible to enact, revise, and amend laws, approve the national budgets and regional and international agreements. The Legislative Council should also establish, monitor, and evaluate the work of all the national commissions.
Since the ouster of President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019, Sudan has had no legislative council. Both cabinet and sovereign council members have been acting jointly to approve laws in accordance with the power-sharing deal of August 2019. The charter envisages special human rights codes and includes the option of restoring to international organizations to achieve transitional justice. Saleh says the new charter will ensure that the perpetrators of crimes committed against the Sudanese people are held accountable.
Establishment of a special courts and persecution offices to try all of those who are involved in human rights violations, war crimes, and mass killings since the Sudan's independence, including members of the 1989 military coup, military crackdown on peaceful protesters on June 3, 2019, and all other crimes committed after the October 21st military coup.
The charter recommends that the Rapid Support Forces, a powerful paramilitary group headed by the deputy head of the Sovereign Council, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, as well as the other armed groups and militias, be immediately unified under Sudan Armed Forces. Saleh says Sudan's disparate armed forces is a major cause of insecurity in the country.
Comprehensive reform and restructuring of the armed forces, establishment of a unified and a professional national army who will be responsible to defend the constitution, the people, and the territory of the country, abolishment of the position of the general commander of the army and the prime minister should be the commander-in-chief of the army and all other regular forces in the country.
The charter also calls for a general Sudanese peace conference that would include refugees and IDPs and set a special human rights court. The Khartoum Resistance Committees called for another round of demonstration today as they tried to move toward the presidential palace in Khartoum. The Maknimir Bridge linking Khartoum and Khartoum North was blocked to prevent the protesters from accessing the palace. Credible sources told this program that the TRI mechanisms, which consist of the United Nations, the African Union, and the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, have begun indirect dialogue with some political groups in Sudan as part of the consultations that would lead to a new transitional government. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Khartoum, we move to Ethiopia, where for months, only a trickle of aid has entered Ethiopia's war-torn northern Tigray region, parts of which the UN says are likely in a state of famine. Tigrayans forced to flee hunger are so desperate that some tell of abandoning their families. For VOA News, Henry Wilkins reports.
Sokoto is home to thousands who have fled Tigray, displaced by war and hunger. Throughout the town, they gather in their hundreds each morning at aid points run by non-profits. Sometimes there is food to give them, but mostly there is not. Tigray, just 10 kilometres away, has been under a de facto humanitarian blockade for a year, with the Ethiopian government and Tigrayan rebels blaming each other for preventing aid from getting through. It is thought that 700,000 people are living under famine-like conditions in Tigray, according to aid agencies and regional health officials, who also say at least 1,900 children have already died of starvation. Kasahun Bayi, a father of six, arrived in Sokoto from Tigray recently, abandoning his family. He says he knows his family has nothing to eat, but he can't do anything about it. He'll try to bring them to Sokoto if they survive until he returns. He says he's not cruel for leaving them behind, but the situation was beyond what he was able to deal with. The full extent of the crisis is unknown because the government has banned journalists from visiting Tigray and has also imposed a telecommunications shutdown. However, VOA was recently able to visit Sokoto and talk with those displaced. Kasa Tagaru belongs to the Amhara ethnic group. She says her ethnic Tigrayan husband did not come with her and her children because he feared being killed in the Amhara region due to his ethnicity. She says her 9-year-old daughter always asks if her father is alive or dead, from starvation or something else. Rights groups have been ringing the alarm bells about ethnic-based violence and killings against Tigrayans, including in the Amhara region. Establishing humanitarian corridors to allow people to escape Tigray would help alleviate the crisis, say advocacy groups. Sarah Deardorff-Miller is a senior fellow at Refugees International, a Washington-based nonprofit.
Absolutely, there need to be more ways for civilians who are trying to flee to get out. I mean, that is a basic principle in international law. That's a very basic kind of, you know, refugee 101 issue.
Zenash Waku is an aid worker in Sokoto. We are accepting displaced people arriving in Sokoto, including from Tigray. That's part of being human, Zanesh says. She says she believes people shouldn't suffer because politicians disagree. Meanwhile, desperation continues to drive people to flee to Sokoto, like Kenu Asfor. Kenu says he has nothing to lose and risked the journey that takes 4 days and nights without access to water or food. I would rather die trying to get out, Kenu says, instead of dying due to hunger. Most people who spoke to VOA said before leaving Tigray, they witnessed adults and children dying of starvation. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Sokoto, Ethiopia.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how is the Egypt-US relations? Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
who do you listen to in difficult times and why? Mostly, I listened to my wife and my dad, because these two people, they know me better than anybody.
I listen most to my mom because she's been through a lot. She has a lot of experience. Anytime I tell her something, she kind of has a solution to the problem.
The person to listen to in difficult times, one, your parents. Two, if you're married, then it should be your partner, because your partner is the person who is there with you every time.
In difficult times, I most of the time listen to my fiancé. When I speak to him, he gives me good advice that helps to calm me down.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. The U.S. Congress withheld a portion of U.S. aid to Egypt over human rights. Egypt recently sent a delegation from its National Council for Human Rights to convince lawmakers that the council has placed the issue of releasing political detainees at the top of its agenda. Mohammed Anwar al-Sadat was a member of the delegation. He discussed the issue with VOA senior analyst Mohammed al-Ashanawi.
Well, honestly, Ali, the visits we had, whether in Washington, in the Congress, and also in the State Department and other, think tanks, same as what we did also recently in Europe, it all went very well. They all, in a way, understand what Egypt have been through. They all care about Egypt, and they would like to see Egypt's success story. But of course, they are, telling us that we should give more attention to this basic rights for the people, that they should be free to express their views, their opinion, freedom of and freedom rights, especially for journalists and so on, same as those who would like to practice their rights, and also those who are, representing the civil society, human rights defender, that they should be somehow left alone. As long as they respect rule of law, then they should be free to do as long as they do, as long as I said, they don't violate the constitution or the law. So I think all these messages we have been carrying out with us when we were back, and we have talked to our different institutions and tell them what we have heard, and that they all care about Egypt. They all value Egypt's position when it comes to the stability of the region, security of the region, but they would like to see progress when it comes to basic rights for Egyptians.
But Congress suspended a portion of USAID to Egypt over human rights violations. Do you think that this new approach by the government would solve this problem once and for all?
Well, I mean, of course, as you know, the Congress have the rights to do what they believe is, serving the American interest. It's a message. I think it has been received by our government. And I believe that still we do have this strategic relationship. A lot of things happening between both government when it comes to different kind of political and economic and cultural relation. But of course, the Congress is sending a message, which, as I said, it was well received. I believe the government, Egyptian government, is trying to comply with the international obligation commitment, which Egypt have to prove that we are keen to meet with the international standards when it comes to human rights and also civil rights.
That's Mohammed Anwar al-Sadat, a member of the Egyptian delegation. He was speaking to VOA's senior analyst Mohammed al-Ashanawi. Authorities in Zimbabwe say more than one-third of females in the country are married before the age of 18, and in some areas, more than half have been wed. Rights advocates are lauding a new law that criminalizes child marriage. Kolomos Mavunga reports from Bira. Zimbabwe.
19-year-old Pusha Nobula is from the Mbiri area near Zimbabwe's border with Zambia and Mozambique, about 300 kilometers north of Harare. She says she was raped at 15 on her way home from school and became pregnant and then was forced to marry her attacker.
Kurorana kwatakaita isusu kwanga kusuri kuda kwangu. Hatina kubvira tawirana sitaka ngonzi endai.
She says that her marriage was never her will. She was forced by her parents. She was brilliant in school but messed up by men. To those growing up, she recommends using protection. But she says by avoiding sexual activity altogether, you can avoid child marriage. Her case is not unusual, say children's advocates. Chipo Jongoro, a volunteer with the charity organization Voluntary Service Overseas, works in the Mbire district.
Chinyanyo kwenderisa nyadzi ma child marriages. Tingati muno Mbire nyaya ma schools pane ma distances akanyanya.
Jongoro says that the major cause of child marriages here is children walking long distances to school, some 12 or 13 kilometers each way. So a child ends up leaving school, and since there's nothing like training in woodwork or sewing, she ends up being married. Advocates and non-profit groups are working with the government to reduce child marriage in Mbira district in Mashonaland Central Province, where more than half the girls get married before they turn 18. Machaira Mabande is a youth development coordinator with the Zimbabwe's Minister of Youth in Mbira. He says 8 minors in the district's Nyagwikwi village have been married off so far this year.
Tuita maawini skambinzi, nionemaskana mbusu pasoto.
He says the ministry holds awareness campaigns and gatherings to reduce the problem of child marriages. These campaigns involve parents and girls and teach them about girls' sexual and reproductive rights. Traditional leaders are accused of promoting the practice or turning a blind eye to it. Chief Chitsungu, a traditional leader here, says he is imposing fines on parents who marry off their children. He says that you take a child to hospital when the child falls sick is the child's right. So they meet regularly with parents, and non-governmental groups are also doing awareness campaigns. Legal experts say a new law criminalizing child marriage should help combat the problem. Lorraine Mumba, a legal officer with Women and Law in Southern Africa, Zimbabwe, hopes a new marriage law will change the fortunes of Zimbabwean girls.
There were gaps and loopholes that existed in terms of when exactly a person could contract into a marriage legally. However, there is need for the Criminal Law and Codification Reform Act to introduce a clear law that stipulates child marriages as an offence and also introduces sentencing guidelines for perpetrators of child marriages.
Pusha Nobula is hoping other girls will not have to endure what she has. Those convicted under the new child marriage law face up to 10 years in prison, though advocates for children's rights are pushing for a harsher sentence. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Mbire, Zimbabwe.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South
Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now end this show with the song Okoru by Kebas and Controller.
The Pan this pit. The CN Records ban this song. Controller Kebas on this song. Cryo, pick up on the owner. Victim in management represent to the fullest. But you could roll on your rhythm. Give you all of my time. And then it's Sumaya, the fire, Sakaya. Kilo, you mado. One pretty girl from my hometown. She was always beautiful. I thought I could take her home, but now it is the time. Oh, I gotta let you know you're my loving. I gotta let you know you're everything. Baby, ponder kuwani, ina tiki do haki lolo. Everything you love, I'll be giving to you. Every time you hold on, I touch it for real. You wanna make me feel this loving ambition. Baby girl, I let me sana. Inira, I let me sana. I will give you all the time in this world, pana. Cause it's never done a pana, baby girl, me a fender.
I did best for you, girl. Love and affection, a true man attraction, a really connection, all to you, girl. My task, my calam, talas. I'm wondering in a good if you take a lot. I saw a woman, my dad, Savit Muhammad, a woman, y'all there. I'm wondering if he's too lean on. Baby girl, you know the love that I have for you. No other man will ever give it to you. I saw a lot of solas. One of them, you're the one that I'm thinking of, I'm too bad. I'm free hotel, but Rari makes it this cool to a kid motel. Now we did, all of that she look in the better Nina. I said Nina get his tower.
Would you cool on your rhythm? I'm gonna give you all of my time. Check in this Sumaya, the fire Sakaya.
We have been listening to Kebas and Controller and the song Okoru. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Iti arif kwez gala ala aizu inti. Ya halatu. Bo ana arif kwez gala inti aizu ala. Ya halatu. Ala u inti le hadi le nihaya. Ya halatu. Ya halatu.
Kuchukuru la miarigi.